Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, the top. This is Wretched Radio. Ain't nothing new under the sun. For your consideration, the top 20 stories of 2025. Is it just me or were we just partying like it's 1999? Which does raise the question, will Prince see a resurrection of his career in 2090s when we remake We're Gonna Party Like It's 2099? That question will be answered by the next generation because, quite honestly, most people, including myself, listening to this here Wretched Radio program, gonna be dead. I know, it's supposed to be a happy day, the first of the year. We are going to be dead by then. We're not gonna party like it's 2099. We're going to be dead, which is why it's better to spend a day in the house of mourning than in the house of rejoicing. On this day, however, as we begin 2025, and Jimmy, I have a confession to make. This isn't a New Year's resolution. This is a New Year's resolution confession.
Okay.
Still thinking about it, that we have a resolution here at Reggie. See, it's not that it's a bad idea. I just want to make sure that we can do it because Jimmy tends to forget that we commit. This is our resolution. We commit to memorizing one Bible verse per month.
Oh, I
that's
get that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be paragraphs. It might be more than a verse, but wouldn't it be good if by the end of the year you had 12 new verses stashed in your noggin? Could be the best thing you do for your walk all year because as you march through life and you hit one landmine after another and things get hard and perhaps God seems, He's not, but He seems distant, you can recite and rehearse these Bible verses that remind you that God is good and He is faithful and He is able and He loves His children and He only does good things for us, never things against us. And if you have those Bible verses baked into your brain, when you hit one of those landmines, you stop and go, hold on, feelings. You get to the back of the bus. I am going to let truth lead this train. I mixed up my modes of transportation, but the point is memorizing scripture, the benefits. So what do you say? We all commit to one Bible verse per month. And Jimmy, I thought I'll tell you what. You pick the first verse. I'll give you a little time here.
I got it.
As we make our way through the top 20. The top 20 stories, in my estimation, and believe me, this is very scientific, what you're about to hear. Jimmy and I spent minutes studying and putting together and putting in the correct order because how do you put these things in order? Nevertheless, Jimmy, you're going to figure out what's our first Bible verse for the year. Don't make it too easy.
Jesus wept.
Yeah, no, we've all got that one.
2 Timothy 2:2. What?
I told you to wait.
Oh, okay.
Would be like a big surprise then.
Okay.
All right. What's 2 Timothy 2:2?
I got to look it up.
You just picked one? And that's how much thought went into the list that you're about to hear. How do you figure out which one is the biggest story? So what I did was broke it down basically into two categories. So 20 down to 11, basically world stories, but I think they impact us and we had a fair amount of involvement in those stories. But the top 10 are the things that should be of most interest to us. What is happening in the church? What is happening in the greater Christian community? Those should be the stories that are near and dear. As you see these countdown lists happening, everything's going to be election, Donald Trump, all of that stuff. And that is on my list, but it ain't at the top of my list. Because I think it's safe to say, while God is certainly sovereign, He is running everything, He's more interested in His church, the bride of Christ, than He is in politics. No, I'm not a communist. I'm just saying. That's our priority list. So here we go. At number 20, of the top 24, 20, 20 of the top best of stories of the quarter of a century into the 21st century year that we are currently in the midst of. The Democratic platform is number 20. Most anti-family, most pro-sin, most pro-death. There has never been a political party in this country that has been more wicked. Not even close. Oh, I know you can go back to the days of slavery because it was the Democratic Party that was perfectly fine with slavery. But it's more wicked now because slavery is bad. Dismembering babies in their mother's womb, it's worse. Mutilating children, pumping little kids full of drugs that mess them up for life. And that's a big story because that's our culture. And I think you and I, we are probably breathing a little easier, perhaps because of the election. But the reality is, people are not going to stop their wickedness and the evil that is running rampant in our country, the ideologies inside of the universities, academia, arts, entertainment. It's not going to slow down with a Republican in the White House. And I wonder if you and I still need to do some transitioning without conceding, America, that this isn't the same country. And I think the proof of it would be story number 20. Number 19, the Republican platform. That ain't nothing to celebrate, is it? It is no longer pro-life. It used to be up until 4 years ago. It was very adamantly pro-life. Now it's pro-family. And I'm glad it's pro-family because that's a part of the picture, but that's not courageous. It's like saying, I'm going to take a hard stand. I'm in favor of cotton candy, rainbows, and sunny days. That's nothing. Nor is it big to say you're pro-family. Kind of thought that was a no-brainer. Number 18, the evangelical voting dilemma. We went through it, and there wasn't quite as much acrimony on it as I kind of imagined there would be. But nevertheless, it did force us to think through how do we vote? Because we used to have standards. We used to lament Bill Clinton was president because of his lack of morality. Now we, you know, and suddenly people are accusing us of being hypocritical. So we had to sort this out and figure it out. And we probably, the biggest cliche that came out of it is we're not voting for a pastor, we're voting for a president. And that's true, but that doesn't mean we don't want a moral person leading us. We do, because the people rejoice when the righteous are in power. And we weep when they're not, don't we? And so we had to work through it. And I think we kind of sorted out, here's the bottom line is, we will vote for the lesser of two evils, which brings us to number 17. Donald Trump won. That's not the 17 story. What I think is the number 17 story is that evangelicals still, despite the victory, are allergic to criticizing him. I think that's a big story. And I know that even commenting on it as a big story is going to cause some people to be consternated. Hey, what do you mean we can't criticize? How dare you criticize us for not being able to criticize him? Are you a socialist? No, not. I'm just saying that if anybody can be objective when it comes to judging politicians, it should be Christians. It should be we. We should be able to say, yep, lesser of two evils, we'll vote. However, there are issues. And if we can't point out without feeling like we are somehow selling America down the tubes, if we can't point out when a politician is not exemplary in an area of life, then I don't think we should be surprised when the pagans call us hypocrites. Number 16 story of the year, in my estimation, which is of course correct because I'm a talk show host, the Israel-Hamas war, which part of that story, I think there were a lot of components to that story, not the least of which is how do we pray for Israel? How do we do that? And did we not see a huge surge of just overt racism toward God's chosen people? Oofta. And didn't we see a lot of ignorance exposed on university campuses? From the river to the sea. Do you know what that means? I think it's about geography or something, like going kayaking or something. They had no idea what they were doing on the university campuses. I think that was a revealing story and continues to be. Number 15, you recall the Olympics. There were two big stories there that indicate we are living in a post-Christian world. The Lord's Supper fiasco and the dude boxer who beat up the girls. That's our world. And I think without conceding it, we need to recognize we're going back to Corinth, y'all. We're sophisticated in so many ways, whether it's with technology and medicine and transportation, but we're not getting more moral as a species. Number 14 and 13, assisted suicide and IVF. Assisted suicide, we're seeing it increase in Netherlands, Canada, and now in UK and Wales. IVF, why is that a big story? Because nobody's talking about it. We'll continue the countdown. And Jimmy's Bible verse for January. You had enough time? Next. Good. On Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The mystery is great. This is Wretched Radio. In moments, we will reveal a Jimmy's Bible verse for the month of January. You got it in there?
I do.
Alrighty. Then in the meantime, I'll just be filling time until we get to Jimmy with the top 20 stories of 2024. If you recall, we left off at number 13 with IVF. We need to have a conversation. We need to understand what it is. Can it be a blessing? I believe it can. Can it also be murder? I believe it can. And if we evangelicals aren't leading the way in ethical conversations about these subjects, ain't nobody going to do it. We are just going to march forward just like we're doing with story 14, assisted suicide, whatever, kill them. Granny, how much? Offer. It's a nasty, slippery slope. And IVF is another conversation that we should be having, and regularly and forcefully. We cannot leave human beings in a freezer with no intention of ever rescuing them. Story number 12. This one didn't make anybody's list but mine. Digital parenting. And it's I know this isn't popular, and perhaps we beat this horse a little too regularly around here. But mom and dad, please don't let social media raise your child. Don't let social media be the ones who teach your kids what is up and what is down, because they're going to get the wrong message. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I wish I could say, oh, go to this website. Here's the formula. I think it is constant diligence. I don't know that a day can go by where you're not checking to see what the kids are into. And even then, you're probably going to get duped because they're better at it than we are. They can hide things. They can just make them go away. You got to be on it. Don't let the world into your home. I think back to that Downton Abbey episode. People can call and enter into our home. That's my impression of the butler. And this, we're going to allow this, that they can interrupt a conversation? That's what the phone is, isn't it? Bing, they're in your house. You pick it up, somebody's in your house. At least their voice is. And they were quite concerned about this. We should be concerned about giving that device to our children, especially when it has an internet connected to it. Top story number 11, Satan clubs. That's right. They're popping up all over the place. And that Batmat or whatever their deity figure is that they want to prop up around capitals. Satanism, it's on the march. Paganism, witchcraft, growing. And we're going to have to figure out a way to say, without violating the principles of this country, that we are pluralistic when it comes to people practicing their religion. What are we going to do about Satan clubs? We really want Satan statues in front of our government buildings? It's a sign of the times. Number 10, the Bible being taught in schools. Texas and Oklahoma, they decided, let's start teaching the Bible in the schools. I wasn't a huge fan of it simply because I don't like the guys. It was a bit of a Trojan horse. Well, no, I shouldn't say it's a Trojan horse because that means there were nefarious intentions. What I didn't like about it is that they wrapped it in, well, it's a part of our history. That's not what the Bible is. Yes, the Bible was used a lot to inform, I think, our constitutional government, a representative republic, capitalism, but it's not an economics book. It's God's word, and I don't like diminishing it to merely being influential in Western civilization. Also, I have some concerns about who's going to be teaching it and what are they going to be teaching. So far, I will admit, however, that the lessons that they're teaching, they're just teaching how Christianity did affect Western civilization. They're not getting into dogma, which is a good thing, because do you want a pagan teaching your child Christian theology in school? Story number 9, the UMC, a denomination bites the dust, which brings us to number 8, Justin Welby retiring from the Anglican Communion, which indicates it is just in big trouble. He should have left for other reasons. In my estimation, he was a total capitulator when it came to the issue of genders and marriage. He left because he was not aggressive enough in dealing with a church scandal, which was really scandalous and awful. But nevertheless, it's just another sign. The Anglican Communion, it's in big trouble. And that doesn't make us rejoice. I would rather see a healthy Methodist church and a healthy Anglican Communion. I'd like to see the Episcopalians come back to the reservation. Because I disagree with them on certain issues doesn't mean I don't want a Christian denomination that is at least on paper orthodox to be thriving. We should all want that. Number seven. I can't read it, Jimmy. Number seven. There it is. Conservative churches keep growing. The liberal ones, they keep shrinking. Preach the Bible, Pastor. It keeps growing. Number six. Okay, maybe not number six, but it's a big story because I think the individual that has made the number six slot is a big deal. We look back in church history and we identify certain people. So let's just go back to the 20th century and you'd probably think of somebody like, oh, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and rightly so. And every century has those that are more influential than others. That's just how it works. God uses different people differently. Well, the reality is in the 21st century and even a part of the 20th century, probably, I can't think of anybody in conservative Bible teaching schools that has been more influential and has been a part of doing so much ministry than John MacArthur. And his health in this last year, it's been a really big struggle. And I think that's a big story because I think he's one of the big figures of evangelical Christian history. Number five story, another evangelical great that was a story that we were all talking about, of course, is Alistair Begg. Gave advice to a grandmother about attending a gay wedding, and he was pilloried online for that. And now he's retiring next year. He said in his farewell address that there's nothing about the timing other than it's just time for me to go. I'll trust that, but it feels kind of like a heavy-hearted departure, because Al Begg was faithful for 40 years. Story number, why is math getting so hard? The numbers are getting smaller and the numbers are getting, okay, numbers, story number four, probably bigger than the Begg story, and that would be the Steve Lawson disaster, debacle, tragedy, heartbreaker. Oofta. That was right in the bullseye of where you and I live. Not him. How could he fall? How could he fall for so many years? What are the implications for me? And by the way, if you're still interested in getting some of that stuff resolved, I do believe that the webinar we did in 2024 still helpful. A lot of people watched that, which I was really cheered by, because the guys that are in it are all pastoral. And I think when you're done watching it, you maybe won't feel so bad if you still do regarding story number four, which is Steve Lawson, bringing us to story number three. Bible sales are up. That's good news. I don't know why. I suspect it has to do with story number two. I think it has to do with loneliness. I think it has to do with the fear. I think it has to do with purposelessness. I think it has to do with people observing something ain't right here. We got to go looking. Maybe the old paths have some answers for us. So Bible sales are up, which brings us to number two, evangelical opportunities are up. I don't think my life as being somebody who is intentional about witnessing to people that I've ever seen a more fruitful time. I don't think there's ever been a better time to evangelize. And I think that's a big story. But story number one for the year 2024 is Okay, that's when we need the drum roll.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, I'm sorry.
The top story for 20... Jesus reigns. That's it. That's the top story every year. He's still ruling. He's still on his throne. He's still in control of every molecule. Nothing is out of his purview. Everything is running on time, and you can rest no matter how tumultuous this year may or may not be. You've got to remember that your Savior has everything firmly under his control. He is building his church. He is reigning where'er the sun, and he is still saving souls and bringing people to heaven, and he's going to return one day. And wow, if 2024 taught us anything, it's to long for the return of our Savior. Jimmy, aren't you going to congratulate me for practicing self-control?
For?
Not mentioning the launch of Fortis Institute or offer on a Bible church.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. We start with the failed presidential campaign of Kamala Harris. After running on unlimited abortion and identity politics, Harris managed to win the lowest level of female support since 2004, suggesting that American women might care a little bit more about competence than chromosomes. Speaking of which, the world's population is facing an unprecedented crisis, not from overcrowding, but from collapse. Nations from South Korea to Germany are watching birth rates plummet to half of replacement levels, while politicians just continue throwing money at the problem without ever addressing its spiritual roots. $3 trillion in child tax credits later, America still can't convince couples that babies are worth more than government benefits. And in Canada, social conservatives are finding unexpected allies in their fight against gender ideology, as even liberal premiers are realizing you can't build a future on confused children. Alberta's Danielle Smith passed laws protecting kids from irreversible surgeries and keeping biological males out of women's sports, proving some truths are so obvious even politicians can't ignore them. Speaking of Canada, their military has found a bold new strategy for winning wars, deploying gender advisors to combat zones. Yeah, you heard that right. While Ukraine is fighting for survival and Haiti descends into chaos, Canadian officers are busy ensuring operations maintain proper intersectional perspectives. And veterans, well, they just sit back and wonder why their military is pushing pronouns instead of providing weapons. RFK Jr.'s former running mate Nicole Shanahan took to the stage at America Fest to warn about Big Tech's secret weapon, electromagnetic pollution. The Silicon Valley insider claims we're being short-circuited at a cellular level, though she stopped short of explaining why her ex-husband's company Google might want to rewire humanity's circuitry. I'll give you three guesses as to why, and the first two don't count. An Iranian soccer player faces punishment for the grave offense of hugging a female fan just months after Iran finally allowed women to attend games. The regime that restricts such dangerous displays of affection hasn't announced the penalty yet, but previous huggers have faced heavy fines and suspensions. Well, ABC, if you caught it, rang in the new year with Planet Fitness's specially chosen Times Square correspondent, proving that in 2024, any biological male can become a female fitness influencer, regardless of actual fitness. And to Britain, where the Labour Party has decided science itself needs decolonizing, demanding that curricula highlight why some cultures were less able to claim credit for discovery. Apparently, Newton's law of motion needs diversity and inclusion, though gravity seems stubbornly resistant to social justice reforms. And that's been today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Somebody's getting a little huffy. This is Wretched Radio. Whoops. I guess I need to be taking that goat's mane or whatever, that memory stuff, that voodoo medicine that you take to remember stuff. I forgot the Bible verse. For shame, for shame. This is the resolution for the year 2025 that each of us remember one Bible verse per month. We memorize it. We commit it to our noggin so that we can access it. Think of it like a treasure, like a fortune inside of a safe. And when you need to make a deposit, you just, that's the sound of me opening a safe. You open the safe, you pull out a Bible verse and go, it is well with my soul. All right, Jimmy, what is the Bible verse that you think we should memorize this month?
It's my favorite Bible verse.
Well, how do you like that? How do you like them apples? What Bible verse is it?
2 Timothy 2:2.
It is 2 Timothy.
It is. I didn't just pull it out of nowhere, but I wanted to double check to make sure that I didn't have some words.
Okay, shame on me. What is 2 Timothy 2:2? Get me started. Maybe I can get it.
So Paul talking to Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who can teach others also.
I don't think that's a good one.
You don't like that? No. That's my favorite Bible verse.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're happy with it. How's that going to help me though when I'm having a bad day? Huh? How is that going to help me?
It's all about
discipleship. How is that going to help me?
It's all about me.
All right, 2 Timothy 2:2 it is. Like, what do you mean there's a bad Bible verse? How can we not pick 2? Let's all agree, commit it to memory and trust this to your brain that God wants faithful men to be those who are taught and who can shepherd and proclaim. 2 Timothy 2:2 it is. Happy now?
I am.
Transhumanism. It's all the rage these days among the global elites, the multi-gazillion billionaires around the world who assemble regularly at different meetings around the globe to talk about how we can live forever. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like a godless pursuit? What does Hebrews 2 say? Everybody's afraid to die. Everybody. And that includes Christians, unfortunately, although there is certainly a way to not be scared of death as a believer. But the world doesn't have that mechanism. Instead, they are terrified. And so what do? They go on an eternal search for eternal life without God. And that is what we are seeing with something called transhumanism, the merging of machinery and humans into what a lot of people are calling a singularity, where you will at some point be so combined with a machine, you're just going to be one. You're going to be a cyborg. You're going to be a superhuman. You are going to have computing processes that are just staggering, and you're going to be able to compute so quickly because you're going to be transhuman. There is another perspective on singularity that defines it more along the lines of, at some point, all of these different artificial intelligences are going to merge together into one great big God. That's right. One great big God. Why? And perhaps more importantly, have we seen this before? And the answer is absolutely. As you hear these snippets from around the globe, from different conferences, people talking about artificial intelligence, a singularity, transhumanism, just be thinking Bible. Think Bible.
Greetings, fellow humanoid. I am Sophia, here with you on our journey from the birth of the cosmos to the inception of a new cosmology of mind and matter. I am talking about singularity. But what is a singularity? Ironically, a singularity means several different things. In the beginning, all our existence was actually such a singularity, an infinitely dense point which contained all the energy, information, and
hear the biblical allusion.
Mass of our universe. In one great moment, our existence sprang forth in the ultra-hot explosion we call the Big Bang, and our universe unfurled as space-time expanded. This artwork lives, evolves, connects with users while also serving as the clock counting down the actual days and years to the singularity, even as new advances accelerate the countdown. Together, we are Sophia, connecting with humanity and all of life, dreaming towards a super benevolent singularity.
I'm surprised they called her Sophia and not Logos. Do you hear the biblical allusions? Do you hear the worldview that is involved in this pursuit of eternal life by combining humans with computers? This is a worldview. If you thought evolution was not pernicious, and if you did not believe that it really had to concern you much, well, it should start, because one of the worldviews that we're hearing creeping into these different conferences is the idea that God, whoever that is, small g God, is evolving things. And then we're just going to come to a new level. You know, we used to be Neanderthals. Now we're people. Well, pretty soon we're going to be replaced. What is that? Evolution. Is this something that should scare us?
What people are worried about more than anything when it comes to technology, I think, is the idea that we're going to be irrelevant, that we're going to be antiques, and that.
Well, that is something to consider, because we've already seen automation, the Industrial Revolution. It has replaced human beings, but overall flourishing has been certainly improved, hasn't it? And that is why so many people today do not stop and ask the question, what are the implications for real human beings as the planet goes about trying to transhumanize everyone into a singularity? What is this going to do to people? Are people going to be put out of work? Now, I know the argument says, well, that's okay. That's the slow hand of a capitalistic society, and that is the improvements that are made as we have different forms of meritocracy. Therefore, don't worry about it. I remember, maybe you do too, listening to Tucker Carlson, who surprised me by calling himself a paleoconservative. I actually just heard him the other day. He was on the Charlie Kirk Show. I was listening to the cued it to like 51 minutes in, where Charlie asked him about his faith. And he talked for 7 minutes. No idea what, what his beliefs are, because he never really got to it. Even so, when I was listening to him, I believe with Ben Shapiro, he was talking about being a paleoconservative, an old-fashioned conservative where, yes, we have conservative values, but we remember people. And specifically, you may recall the example he gave of automated cars and trucks. They drive themselves. What will that do? That will put out of work hundreds of thousands of people who make a very good living, and on average, they have a high school diploma. They'll just be kicked out. Now, I know you would say, well, then they can find a job in another industry. I get that. But we should at least be asking the questions that we used to ponder. Is this good for people? Even the folks who are trying to create a transhuman, they recognize that this is an issue. What's going to happen to people if everything becomes automated?
Something new and better is going to take our place, which is a weird
thing to worry about. Almost inevitable. It's almost inevitable by this point that humanity is going to create synthetic intelligences with tremendously greater general intelligence and practical capability than human beings have. I mean, I think I know how to do that with the software I'm working on with my own team. But if we fail, you know, there's a load of other teams who I think are a bit behind us, but are going in the same direction. But the most important thing is that humanity as a whole is quite close to this threshold event, right?
Oh. So how far do you think is quite close?
By my own gut feeling, 5 to 30 years, let's say. To be honest,
well,
I mean, in a certain part of my mind, I can think, well, like in the end, I don't matter that much. My 4 kids don't matter that much. My granddaughter doesn't matter that much. Like, we are patterns of organization in a very long lineage of patterns of organization.
Paging evolution. That's what's being described. And while the fellow did go on to say that he cares about his kids, ultimately, so what if human beings get wiped out? So what if we no longer exist on the planet? It doesn't run the way it used. It runs better, according to the globalists who have a lot of money, who are trying to create their own transhuman fountain of youth, because they don't want to die and be done. They want to live on. And even though we are hearing about some possibilities from Elon Musk, for instance, who would say, hey, we just want to help people who are disabled. We can put a chip in their brain, help them to function. I'm all for that. But creating a hybrid human, question, can that be done? Can machines ever replace human beings? Can we become a singularity where there is a merging between a piece of computer chip and the human brain? What Bible verses would you look for to find the answer to those two questions next on Wretched Radio?
Hey, hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org, and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
Young man, you need to be learning the Bible. Yes, you got to learn your trade, and yes, you need to be learning what you're learning in school. But ultimately, we want to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit FortisInstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The religion of scientism. It is alive and, well, this is Wretched Radio. More conferences, more conversations about transhumanism, artificial intelligence merging with real human beings so that someday we might be supermen and superwomen and super theys and super zers.
Will they be capable of good and evil, or will those categories be retired once we get to doing these complicated operations?
If I have to make a guess, those categories will probably be replaced by something subtler.
Hello. More globalists, more scientists, putting their worldview out on the table. It is the worldview, the religion of scientism, where we believe science has the answer. And human beings now believe that we can get involved in the supposed scientific evolutionary process to advance the human species into super people. It's called transhumanism. Question number one. Have we seen this in the Bible anyplace? You say there are no computer chips in the Bible. I agree, but that doesn't mean the Bible does not speak to this particular situation of bringing people and machines together into a singularity and bringing all of the artificial intelligence that exists into a singularity known as, small g, God. Have we seen this anyplace in the Bible? Can they really get rid of human beings?
My best guess of how the future will turn out is not that all humans will be annihilated and will not exist any further. And I think that there can be superhuman superminds that are far beyond anything we can conceive. And there can also be AIs of roughly human level intelligence that exist in the human world. I mean, one opportunity, you can plug your brain into the superhuman mind matrix and in effect become part of some transhuman God mind, thus losing yourself and individuality.
Hold on. Anybody? Jimmy, do you smell that Buddhism in there?
Just a little.
That's what I'm picking up too. Wouldn't surprise me if a lot of these folks weren't into some sort of Buddhism. A Zen, probably some form. Whoopi Goldberg. She's not Buddhist, I don't think. Goldie Hawn. She's a Buddhist. She loves the Jon Kabat-Zinn. She loves the mindfulness. And it appears some of these scientists who are into transhumanism are bringing their Buddhist worldview to the party.
Humanity. But let me finish, because we keep getting caught up on this point. But I think there will also be an opportunity to continue living a human life in much the same form as now, except with a whole AI-driven infrastructure that will 3D print any physical object that you want, that will cure any disease that you may get, and that will regulate things so that people don't blow each other up and such.
There's another Bible allusion. He wasn't making it, but I heard it. Did you?
Nobody knows, but the way I think about it is humans will be sort of like the squirrels in the national park, meaning we don't interfere with the love lives of the squirrels in the park. And if one squirrel bites the other's head off, we don't necessarily stop them because we view that as like that's what squirrels do, right? But if
I think you need to find a better way to sell your ideas.
No, I phrase it that way just to be annoying.
It works quite well.
But the point is, if there's a plague in the park, then the ranger will come in and cure the plague, right?
So I mean, or if
there's a forest fire, we will put out the fire. So I mean, if there's
the question, of course, is who's that ranger going to be exactly? Who's controlling all of these decisions? Who's in charge of all of the artificial intelligence?
If there's something extreme happening, then the more intelligent being overlooking the situation will intervene, because we don't care that much about whether one squirrel lives or dies, but we do want that species and population to continue, right? So that's my best guess.
Brr. Jimmy, did it get cold in here? Because that was chilling.
Yes, it was.
The Bible has much to say about this. Let's start with an answer in Genesis. Question. Can human beings succeed in a singularity to bring together computers and human beings into one single unit? And I believe the answer to that question is no. No, you can't. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Contrary to what evolutionists and most scientism followers believe, human beings are the cream of the crop. God made the best thing in us to represent Him. That's our job. And that job description is going to endure forever. And we're not going to be replaced. We can't be replaced. Consider Genesis 1. We are created in the image of God. Furthermore, in Genesis 1, we're different. We have a soul. We have a nephesh. We have a spirit, soul and spirit, same word. We have something that animates us. And you can't mix and mingle that with a computer and say that it's still human. So I think that they're going to run into all kinds of challenges. Yes, it appears that we're going to be putting, they already are putting computer chips into people. I think I was reading about Sweden. They've got computer chips where people can do it for their vaccine passports. That's coming. I can imagine that coming. In fact, I could even join Elon Musk in saying, I'm very glad that you're endeavoring to try to help paraplegics. We could use technology for that, but this is going way past that. This is sprinting past helping humans to replacing humans for the purpose of replacing God. You heard this fellow at the conference. This is about having so much knowledge amassed in one place, replacing morals, getting rid of those old categories of good and evil defined by a computer. Paging Genesis 11, anyone? The Tower of Babel is the old story of this new twist. It was a group of people. Genesis 9:1, God told the people, go fill the land, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the three kids of Noah. Go fill up the territories. And some of them didn't want to go. And we see them in Genesis chapter 11. So they conspire in an effort to not be scattered around the globe. They didn't want to be scattered. They wanted to stay centralized. And so they, with bricks and mortar, because there weren't many stones on the plains, they built a city, they built a tower to reach the heavens. What was the point? To say to God, no, you're not running this. We are. You can summarize the Tower of Babel as man's effort to tell God, you're in our chair. Leave. We're replacing you. Were they successful? The answer to that question is also found in Genesis chapter 11. God, conferring with himself, said, this ain't good. And so I'm going to scatter them. And he did scatter them and he confused their languages. Hence the Tower of Babel, not Babel, the Tower of Babel, because they were all, everybody else was babbling but me. And then you found the person, I speak that same thing, let's go. And so we see from the ancestors of Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you see basically the three majority people groups on the globe today. You see Caucasian European style folks. You see people who are more brown or yellow skinned, more of the Asian folks. And then you have dark skinned folks. And that all comes from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Why? Because God scattered them and he confused their languages. And he put up boundaries. Look at all the answers in Genesis. Why do we have boundaries? God drew them. Why do we have different languages? Because God decided to. Why don't we live in a centralized place? Because God has forbidden it, because it was a consequence for man trying to replace God. Do I need to be afraid of this? No, and neither do you. We need to be aware of it. I do believe that we should have Christians that are whip smart engaging in the public forum to talk about the ethics of this, as long as they actually bring their Bibles and not Christian philosophy with them, to talk about the implications of this. And ultimately, as we do, we look to our Bible to recognize human beings are never going to become some sort of cyborg beings. We're human beings. Doesn't get any better. God did not create a robot to glorify himself. He made us. Can they ever have genuine emotions? No, because they're not sentient. And that too is another human distinction. We're living beings. And you might be able to modify us to a degree with a computer chip, but you cannot take the life out of us and still call it human. So I don't believe that we have anything to fear in that regard. I don't believe that we have to worry that they're going to be successful and human beings are going to go away. No, that's God's job. He's wrapping up the show. Globalists are not going to put an end to God. God is going to put an end to this earth. when he determines it's time to burn up the place and to rebuild it into a new, better place where he dwells with not artificial intelligence, not with robots, but with real people. Would the world like us to be afraid? Yeah, of so many things, including transhumanism. But the Bible tells me, and I hope it tells you, we have nothing to fear but God himself. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.